The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 6, text number 19, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on May 27th, 2009, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
So today, by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Trinandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, we have the most auspicious opportunity to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 6, text number 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jashoda Rohini Vyamta Samam Balasya Sarvata Laksham Vidadire Samyag Gopucha Brahmanadi Vi Yashoda Rani Yashoda Rohini Bhyamta Samang Balasya Sarvata Laksham Vidadire Samyag Gopucha Brahmanadi Bi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, Mother Yashoda and Rohini, along with the other elderly gopis, waved about the switch of a cow to give full protection to the child, Sri Krishna. Purport. When Krishna was saved from such a great danger, Mother Yashoda and Rohini were principally concerned. And the other elderly gopis, who were almost equally concerned, followed the activities of Mother Yashoda and Rohini. Here we find that in household affairs, ladies could take charge of protecting a child simply by taking help from the cow. As described here, they knew how to wave about the switch of a cow so as to protect the child from all types of dangers. There are so many facilities afforded by cow protection, but people have forgotten these arts. The importance of protecting cows is therefore stressed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Rishi Goraksha Vanijam Vaishakarma Svabhavajam. Even now in the Indian villages surrounding Vrindavan, the villagers live happily simply by giving protection to the cow. They keep cow dung very carefully and dry it to use as fuel. They keep a sufficient stock of grains, and because of giving protection to the cows, they have sufficient milk and milk products to solve all economic problems. Simply by giving protection to the cow, the villagers live so peacefully. Even the urine and stool of cows have medicinal value. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam
Padmanathan Vitam Dham Sajivam Sajaitam Savadutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
So nowadays, people are crying, economic crisis. Government bailout. But what is this government bailout? They're just printing more paper money. Can you eat paper money? You ever try to make a salad out of paper money? Put some lemon juice, some olive oil, some salt and pepper, and try to digest it? What is this economic bailout? More paper money? The whole thing is artificial. No wonder people are suffering like crazy all over the world. The government leaders have no brain how to solve the problems of the society. They're simply thinking how to stuff their own pockets full of more and more money. That's all they're really thinking. In the name of being the well-wisher of the human society. Such rascals. They're eating hamburger, these so-called leaders. Eating their own mother. And they think they're qualified to lead the human society. This is madness. Simply madness. Insanity. The whole world has become bedlam. A crazy house, you see. Simply crazy house. Here we see such simple solution. Keep some cows. It's amazing here. There's arts, subtle arts that you can use the cow to be protected from danger also. That's an amazing thing. The cow who can actually protect us from danger by her auspiciousness. We're killing her. How much it is natural that we're going to suffer so many calamities in the human society. You know, terrorism, global warming, so many difficulties. You see. It is natural. In a society which tortures its own mother, it is natural. Even if they don't become devotees, if they can just stop killing the cow, the whole world will become peaceful. Somehow we have to convince them. They have no brain. I was standing in the line at the grocery store. This man had a piece of cow meat wrapped up in the plastic, and the blood was dripping out on the floor. I couldn't believe this is human beings. His own mother's blood is dripping on the floor, a puddle of his mother's blood dripping on the floor, and he's paying money for this. It's unthinkable. So this has become a standard mentality. You see. They have this McDonald's, it says on the billboard, "I'm loving it." I'm killing my own mother. I'm eating her blood and flesh, and I'm loving him. Just see how degraded they have become. Unbelievably degraded. That society is still going on with some kind of order and some degree of sanity. You know, the normal interactions, things are happening. You know, airplanes are making their connections. It is simply due to their past pious activities. See, if it wasn't for that, there'd be total anarchy on this planet. There'd be no order anywhere. There'd be complete total anarchy everywhere. I eat you, you eat me. It's like at the end of Kali Yuga, you know. You invite your neighbor over for dinner and he's the dinner. The end of Kali Yuga. It is only because of past pious activities that there is any degree of order and stability in the world right now. Only because of past pious activities. But what are they doing to those past pious activities? That stock of past pious activities, they're spending them off. Completely spending them off very quickly. Just like a boy, an impious boy who inherits, you know, $10 million from his uncle. Is he spending it wisely? No, he's spending it on wine and women, fancy sports cars, drugs, guns. He's spoiling all that money. Very quickly it'll all be finished. And he'll be a beggar in the street, you see. So this modern day society, like a degraded playboy who's inherited some big fortune from his past pious activities, they are spending it off very quickly. As soon as it's spent off, the whole society will disintegrate. There one British poet, Yeats, he predicted like this. He wrote in his poetry, he said, "Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy becomes loosed upon the world." The only thing that can save it is Srila Prabhupada's mercy. I'm telling you, the only thing that can save the world from complete disintegration of the society is Prabhupada's mercy. So just imagine, Prabhupada is not here physically now to do the preaching work, you see. Of course, he is in the form of his book. But just imagine what responsibility we have now as the followers of Srila Prabhupada. To purely follow him, to become living examples of his teachings. Not that people read the books. I have so many people who read the books, they think this is great, and they go to the temple and they say, "This isn't like what's in the books. I'm not going to the temple anymore." I have people write to me like this. I just got a letter the other day from a gentleman in Bulgaria, a very nice man. He says, "I accept Prabhupada and these teachings, but the devotees, they're not living these books. I don't want to go to the temple." You see. Just see what a responsibility we have. We have to be living examples of what's written here in Srila Prabhupada's books. So the people, we do the book distribution, people read the book, they say, "Wow, this is great, let me go find the people who are following this." And they come to the temple and they say, "These people aren't following this. I'm just going to stay at home. I'm not going to go to this ISKCON. They're not following what's in these books." See, what a shame that would be. And it's happening. I'm seeing it. It's already happening right now. So how important it is that we carefully read and make ourselves living examples of what's written in these books. Otherwise, what is the word for us? Hypocrites. We say one thing, and we do another thing. We have to be pure devotees. We cannot remain kanishtas, fighting amongst ourselves. See, finding fault with each other. We cannot remain Kanishtha Adhikaris. We must come to Madhyam platform where we respect all Vaishnavas, especially those who are in Prabhupada's mission. You see, especially. We respect all living entities, even the little ant. We have to come to this Madhyam platform. And from there, Prabhupada wants us to go all the way to Uttama platform. He ordered me. Now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. That's an order for everybody. I wasn't any special devotee. I'm just a pot washer and preaching on a college campus during the day. I wasn't a big devotee. Prabhupada ordered me, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So Prabhupada wants us to become pure devotees. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yayadma supersediti. Unless your devotional service is going on 24 hours a day, free of all material motives, you won't be satisfied. Bhagavatam said. You won't be satisfied. See, and if we're not satisfied by our devotional service, what will we do after some time? After the newness wears off? You see, it means our service is rajasic. After the newness wears off, we'll go away. We see it again and again. People come, they're all excited, and then gradually their enthusiasm goes away. That means they're performing devotional service in the mode of passion. They weren't connecting with the transcendental platform, actually. We have to connect with the transcendental platform. And purify our hearts from this lust, this anger, this greed, this madness, this illusion, and the worst one of all, envy, matsarya. Worst one. We're envious of Krishna, that's why we came here. We lost our qualification to participate in Krishna's pastimes because we envied his position as the Supreme. Krishna gets all these girlfriends, why not me? Is it? Why I have to serve his enjoyment? Why I have to serve his pastimes with all these beautiful women? Why I can't have mine? You see, that is envy. That mentality brings us here to this material world. Therefore, we have to learn how to become non-envious well-wishers of all living beings. As the Goswamis, you see, this mood, we have to, each and every one of us must cultivate this mood of the six Goswamis. They are the perfection. It doesn't matter whether we are brahmachari, householder, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. Whatever our position is, we must cultivate man, woman, it doesn't matter. We must cultivate this mood of the six Goswamis. Dira, dira, janapriyo. You see, janapriya, they are dear to everyone. Prabhupada is the living example. He is the pure representative of the six Goswamis. Prabhupada is also janapriya. You see, he is dear to everyone. Practically everyone loves Prabhupada. So why was Prabhupada so much loved by everyone? The thousands of people surrendered at his feet and gave their lives to him. Because he gave his love, you see. Because he gave pure love to us. No one had ever loved us like that. Isn't that a fact, Arjuna Prabhu? No one ever loved us. And we never found anyone who could love us like Prabhupada loved us. In our life, we were starving for love and only Prabhupada could give us such love. Therefore, we wanted to give our life to Prabhupada. So, our duty now is to be like that. Prabhupada said, do as I am doing. He wants us to be like that. Very merciful persons, giving love to everyone. That love means give them Krishna consciousness. Not sense gratification, Krishna consciousness. That is love. If I give someone sense gratification, is that love? Some household, as they write me, well, I want to be a devotee and follow the principles. My wife wants illicit sex. What can I do? I have to satisfy her, make her peaceful. Is that love? Giving my wife illicit sex? Is that love? No, I'm cheating her, actually. In a roundabout way, I'm using this excuse for my own sense gratification, that's all. Of course, I'm not doing it. I'm just giving an example. I'm very strictly following these principles. We have to be very, very pure. We have to strictly follow this pathway ourselves and be very kind to others, very patient with others, very understanding of the difficulties that others are going through, and help them to come to this platform of pure devotional service. That will help, that mood will help us come to that platform as well, you see. The more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. Therefore, we should be totally absorbed in giving Krishna to everyone. Isn't that the order of Lord Chaitanya? Yare deka tade kaha Krishna upadesha mara agaya guru hoyatade desh. Whomever you meet. Did he say only at the temple? Whoever you see at the temple, you give them Krishna? No, he said, whoever you meet, wherever you go, should always be trying to distribute Krishna consciousness. In this way, on my order, every one of you should become guru and deliver the people of this world. Prabhupada, at the Hyderabad temple opening address, many life members had come. He ordered all the life members. He said, you're living in a neighborhood, you become the guru of that neighborhood. He ordered his life members to become gurus. Everyone should be very, very eager to preach, to give Krishna consciousness. That's how we become qualified, to get the mercy of Krishna, the special mercy of Krishna. Krishna says, there is no one in this world more dear to me than he, than that person who preaches my glories. So if we want to be dear to Krishna, here's the simple formula to do it. Just give Krishna to everyone. Shri Radha Golokananda ki. So someone may say, well, we recite every morning in the 10 offenses that it's an offense to instruct the faithless about the glories of the holy name. So everybody here in Mauritius is faithless, so I think it'd be offensive against the holy name if I were to preach. You see. I want to keep my chanting pure, so I'm not going to preach, because all these Mauritian people, they're faithless. I'm just not going to preach. I'm just going to sit in my house, chant and read. And I wouldn't dare preach because then I'll be committing a nama-parad. Is that what the offense means? Sometimes there appears to be contradictions in our teachings, but they're actually there's not. What you have to do is take everything in context, and then you can understand the proper meaning. Don't superficially try to understand different instructions. Take every instruction in context of the other instructions. So the other instruction is Lord Chaitanya's order to preach to everyone. So how do you preach to everyone and avoid preaching to the faithless at the same time? But everybody is faithless. How do you do what seems to be impossible? Well, here's the inside secret how to do that. Actually, everyone is faithful, but it's covered by many, many layers of faithlessness. Everyone is actually Jivara Sarupa Hoy Krishna Nityadas. Every single living entity is a pure devotee of Krishna. But by bad association, that pure bhakti has been buried by layer after layer after layer after layer of faithlessness. So instead of preaching to their faith, instead of agitating their faithlessness, which causes them to blaspheme, you have to somehow interact with that person in such a way where you touch the faithful person beneath the faithlessness. You give them as much as they can appreciate about this movement and let them become purified. Maybe it's just giving them prasadam, giving them a chance to hear the Harinam party. You see, they're not ready to sit down and hear philosophy. Even Lord Chaitanya was very selective. For the mass of people, it was just Harinam Sankirtan. And for the philosophers, you know, Bhagavatam philosophy. And for the very, and only for the very purest souls, Krishna Lila, the highest level. Actually, it's described that Lord Chaitanya discussed Krishna Lila only with 3.5 people. 3.5 people. Wow, a half a person? Three and a half. Actually, Sikhi Mahidi, they counted the sister as half because she's in a woman's body. In the Vedic culture, the women, of course, Prabhupada is now given equal status, he says. But at that time, the women were considered half. Sikhi Mahidi's sister, she was the half. But she was one of the intimate associates. Who cares if you're half and tied at half, if you're one of the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya that hears Krishna Lila, discusses Krishna Lila with Lord Chaitanya? I wouldn't mind being counted half if I could be one of the four intimate, most intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. They can count me 1/4, that's okay with me. But of course, Prabhupada now, he says the women, they are equal. Equally as good as preachers as their god brothers, you see. Equal. Baba gave equal status. He gave brahminical initiation, etc. But the point is that Lord Chaitanya only talked high level, the highest level, with those four people. You see. So the point is, in preaching, we have to understand the mentality of the person we're speaking to and reach them on their level. One time we were at the airport in Fiji getting ready to head to Los Angeles, Mataji and I, and Krishnapriya Mataji and I. So one atheistic type person, he saw, you know, someone in priestly garb, and he thought, oh, here's my chance, you know, I can smash another theist. So he came up to me and he said, you know, what's your philosophy? So I paused for a minute. I knew I could understand who I was up against here. What his mood was. He just wanted to smash me, you see, and go, ha, 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 ha. Yeah. I could see exactly where he was coming from. So I told him this. I said, our philosophy is this. Know who you are and be who you are. He couldn't say anything. It was a little fun he thought he was going to have by smashing a religious person. He didn't get his chance. You see. He didn't get his chance to commit any blasphemy. I didn't let him. I gave him something that, on his level, that was true. It was Krishna consciousness for somebody on his level, you see. Know who you are and be who you are. See, that is actually our Krishna consciousness movement. Know who you are, the eternal servant of Krishna. Now you know who you are, that's jnana. And what's the next step? Vijnana. Now be who you are. You see. Be a devotee. Practice Krishna consciousness. So in a nutshell, our philosophy is this. Know who you are and be who you are. Now what gentleman, what sane person on this planet, if we said, my dear sir, would you like to know who you are, who you really are? Would he say no? Only a madman would say, no, I don't want to know who I am. What if you were a beggar in the street and I found out that, you know, you're the the great grandson of Bill Gates or something like that. And he bequeathed, you know, 10% of his fortune to you, and you didn't know. I came up and I said, "Do you know who you are? You just inherited $10 billion. You're the great grandson of Bill Gates, or the grandson, whatever. And you inherited $10 billion. I just want to let you know who you are. You forgot who you are, and I came to tell you who you are." You see. So the information we're giving is much greater benefit than $10 billion inheritance. We're letting you know that you're actually the Son of God. You're the dear, intimate son or daughter of the Supreme Person. We just want to let you know that. You're not meant to suffer in this material existence, rotting in the cycle of birth and death. You have an open invitation to go back to the spiritual world and live with your Father right now. I've come with a vehicle to take you back. What is that vehicle? Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a vehicle that will take you back to the spiritual world. You see, to resume your original identity in the pastimes of the Supreme Person, the source of all existence. So who would object to finding out that they were worth more than $10 billion? If I could tell you, sir, if you discovered your real identity, you would find out that you have inherited a fortune which is worth more than $10 billion. Would you like to find out who you are? Would somebody say no? Everybody would say, more than $10 billion? Yes! Tell me who I am so I can claim my fortune, my good fortune. So that's what we have. We have the information that will inform every single man, woman, and child on the face of this planet that you have a greater fortune than $10 billion waiting for you right now. Who would object to knowing who they are if it means that they inherit something worth more than $10 billion? Would anybody object? No. Everybody would say, yes, tell me. I said, all right, I'll tell you how you can be who you are. You have to reconnect yourself with the support of the Supreme Person, the source of all existence, through love. It's a simple formula. Whether you're a Christian, a Hindu, a Jew, a Muslim, a Jain, a Sikh, or whatever, that Supreme Lord, that Supreme Person, the source of all existence, is your loving Father. He wants you to reconnect with Him through pure love. And I have come to teach you how to do that. Would you be interested? So the point is, you have to find the way, and you have to rely on the super soul. It's sometimes said, if you just go out on Sankirtan, Krishna will tell. Just get yourself out on Sankirtan, and Krishna will put the book in their hand, and Krishna will tell you what to say. Krishna will tell you, I don't know what to say if I hand someone a book. Just go out and hand them the book, and Krishna will tell you exactly what to say. The words will come right, Krishna, in your heart, but the words will just come right out of your mouth and go, wow, I never thought of that. How did I say that? You see, Krishna in your heart will give you the words to say. Put yourself out on Sankirtan, take some books, go out door to door, go on the street, give the people the books, and Krishna will give you the words to say. In such a way that they'll be attractive. I have one disciple in the U.S., Bhakti Vinod Das, and he's working as a software engineer, but every chance he gets, he goes out on a book distribution. He loves it. And he writes these stories about the people that he writes me reports. Well, I met this person and they said this. He comes up with the most amazing things to tell the people to get them to take a book. You know, it's not like he just gives one line, you know, every time. He's totally creative and spontaneous. They'll say something and then spontaneously he'll give them something and convince them, yeah, I'll take that book. So the idea is we have to present Krishna consciousness in such a way that people get excited and enlivened. Yes, yes, I want it, I want it, I want it. That's how we have to preach. And in that way, we won't cause anyone to be blasphemous. They'll just go, wow, this is amazing. We have that knowledge, that information, that secret wisdom which will make everybody on this planet completely ecstatic. We just have to find a way to deliver it to them. Actually, we just have to go out and try to deliver it to them to the best of our ability, and then Krishna will help us how to do it. So that we can bring an end to this Shri Radha Golokananda Ki Jai. So we can bring an end to this cow-killing culture. This suicidal cow-killing culture can be replaced with a Vaishnava cow-loving culture. This we must have. Until we stop torturing the cows and we start loving the cows as a human society, there will never be peace on this planet. Shri Radha Golokananda Ki Jai. There will never be peace. Loving cows doesn't mean loving cow meat. It means giving them all protection throughout their whole life. Giving them a first class retirement program even after they stop giving them. Or the bull is too weak to pull the plow. Bow. First class retirement program. Even if they're old and arthritic and they can't do anything except eat and sleep. Still, first class retirement program for our mother and father, the cow and the bull. This is Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Everything's clearly understood? Everything's fully accepted? Yes. Meaning preaching when one tries to act on a platform beyond what they're actually on?
No, just teaching their daily devotional life.
Oh, no.
One should be...
Actually, the proper way to act is very humbly. Actually, those who are truly on an exalted platform, they don't act on an exalted platform. They take a very, very humble role. The more that somebody's actually advanced, the more they feel they are not advanced. Do you understand? Yeah. The more somebody feels meek and humble, that's their advancement. So if someone is acting like, I'm a big advanced devotee, that's simply nonsense. Because the more somebody's advanced, the more they feel themselves to be completely nonsense. That's the reality. The more they the more advanced becomes more and more and more humble. That's advancement. The advanced devotee just feels he's a humble servant of every devotee in the whole movement. He feels Prabhupada said the spiritual master. He thinks that Krishna has sent me so many spiritual masters. He sees his disciples as his gurus, that he has to serve them by taking them back to Godhead. He has a humble service to them. So, those who are actually advanced, the more one is in the mood of being a servant of all the Vaishnavas, he is advanced. Some are thinking, I am master, serve me. He's simply rascal. Masquerading as a devotee. The real devotee is the one who feels himself the humble servant of all the Vaishnavas. That's the real devotee. You understand? Does that answer your question? Sort of, or it solidly answers your question? Solidly? Or is some doubt still? You can ask further, I'll try to answer more completely. Are you satisfied? Or you still want more? What's she saying? Answer was clear, it answered your question?
Yeah.
All right. That was a very good question. Thank you for asking such a nice question. I appreciate that. You have a question?
Yes. Sometimes when someone dies, you're asked to come and talk.
So?
Yes.
When someone dies?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you're asked to come and talk something on Krishna or on Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
So we read the text and then we explain. The question is, those who are hearing at that time,
yeah,
they get the benefit.
They do what? Those who are hearing, they what?
Those who are hearing.
Yeah.
Okay, they get the benefit.
They get the benefit, okay.
Yes, because what Krishna has said, we are the medium through which they hear it.
Okay, so what's the question?
Yeah. The question is, for the soul that has left the body, what is the benefit for the soul?
Yes, well, if that soul was a materialist, he could be hovering around the funeral ceremony. Because these are all his friends, you see, his relatives, his friends. He could just be hovering there. So it's very beneficial to have, you know, these funeral ceremonies, to have very Krishna conscious things. It could actually, the soul could be hovering there, and he hears you preach the Bhagavad Gita. And that could actually liberate him. By hearing the Gita, you go, wow, I never really believed these Hare Krishnas, but now I'm convinced. You see? Now they're right. Yeah, I'm not the body. They're right. And that could actually deliver that person. He could be hovering there in a limbo, you know. And he hears your talk, and boom, he could get liberated by hearing that. Or at least get a devotee birth in his next lifetime. He didn't really qualify for it yet. So it's very beneficial. And if you're invited to a funeral, to go there and, you know, have kirtan, explain the Bhagavad Gita philosophy, it's very beneficial.
Also, when you chant the Ram, how many generations before get benefits?
When you do what?
When
you chant your rounds, how many generations get benefit? If you want to benefit your generations, chanting rounds is not enough. You have to become a pure devotee, and then you benefit 21 generations.
21.
That number is given. Yeah, there's different numbers given in different places. But you just by chanting rounds, and what if your rounds aren't any good? You're chanting offensive rounds. If you want to benefit and deliver 21 generations of your forefathers, become a pure devotee. When Dhruva Maharaj delivered his mother, it was only when he was being delivered that she got delivered. Suniti became automatically delivered when Dhruva was being delivered. Not that he was, you know, chanting Om Namo Bhagavate. He didn't chant Hare Krishna, he chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. His mother did not get delivered when he chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. His mother got delivered when he was going back to Godhead. When he was going on his Vaikuntha airplane, he looked over, there was his mother. She had her own airplane. They were going, both going together back to Goloka. So if you chant very, very good rounds, purify yourself to become a pure devotee, then when you go back to Godhead, you could possibly see 21 generations of your forefathers going with you. Or then maybe they'll come later on, they have some more purification to undergo. That's also the... But they will be delivered. It's guaranteed by Krishna. He doesn't say when. He doesn't say He doesn't say immediately. It could be immediately as Dhruva. But it could be that they need a little more time, but they are guaranteed to go and be delivered. That's the thing. You got your hand up? Yeah. What comes from realizations?
Humility. You have to actually realize.
Humility. Okay.
You have to, like, you can be humble to realize that your true realization.
That's right.
Or you can, even if you know you're not humble, you can try and pretend to be more humble than you.
No, there is a technique given by Lord Chaitanya how to develop the quality of humility. It's not, I mean, there's a system, a scientific system of how to actually develop humility. You offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for yourself. That is the simple formula. Even if it's a show, you may say, well, I don't really respect anybody. So what's the good of it to make a show of it? But here is a good example from Prabhupada himself that will shed light on that apparent dilemma. My godbrother, Gargamuni Prabhu, one of the original 26 Second Avenue devotees. His brother was Brahmananda. But anyway, when Prabhupada would come down, at that time he was called Swamiji. When Swamiji would come down from his apartment to give the lecture in the little tiny storefront, 26 Second Avenue, everybody would bow down. But one of the devotees, he would not bow down. That was Gargamuni. Because he didn't feel it was natural. You know, I don't feel like respecting Swamiji. Why should I be artificial and bow down to Swamiji? So anyway, but he was wondering, is this right or not? He was a little nervous about not bowing down because everybody else did it, you know. So he raised his hand, he said, Swamiji, when you enter the room, everybody bows down. But I don't bow down. It doesn't feel natural for me. Is that all right, Swamiji? Prabhupada said, you should bow down. He says, and if you do that, then it will feel natural. So even though it was artificial, he did it artificially, but as soon as he did it artificially, because the actual nature of the soul is to be respectful to the spiritual master, he did it even artificially, but as soon as you start doing it on Prabhupada's order, the natural feeling came. So even if you don't respect anybody, make a show of being respectful. How would I act? Just like you're in a drama, you know. There's some drama and you're playing the role of a person who respects everyone. How would you act in that drama? Just imagine if you respected everyone, how would you act? Even if you didn't think they're all a bunch of jerks. You see, you can't respect even one person in the whole movement. How would you act in a drama? There's a drama called ISKCON, you know. And you're a character in the drama called ISKCON. And the stage director said, you're going to play the role of somebody who respects everybody in the whole movement. And you just act that role, you know what's going to happen? Because within your heart, you actually have pure love for Krishna and all of his parts and parcels. You actually have it. That show bottle respect actually will reconnect you with your genuine respect. So go ahead, even if you hate my guts, you know, just go ahead and respect, make a show of respecting me. And then you will naturally respect me in due course of time. So that's how you can develop humility. Pretend like you're humble. But don't go overboard like same time. You don't have to make a big, you know, overdoing it thing. Like that one devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, I am your most fallen disciple. And Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. You're simply insignificant. So you don't have to go overboard, you know. Just be a natural, humble devotee, being respectful. Not yet go around advertising, yeah, I'm really fallen. Now, just be a natural, respectful person. And then, okay, question. Let me have the paper. This makes it the easiest thing when you hand me the paper. Okay. Devotional service for personal upliftment. That's question number one. Yes, devotional service is for personal upliftment. Of course, you may say, but didn't Prabhupada say that the most important thing is to save the world? So how can we say that devotional service is for personal upliftment? Actually, Prabhupada said this. He said, the most important thing is to save the world, but even more important is to save yourself. So who asked this question? Yeah. So actually, yes, it is. Primarily, Krishna consciousness is for your personal deliverance. That's the number one purpose of Krishna consciousness. And the secondary purpose is to save the whole world. And the insider secret is, the more you absorb yourself in trying to save the world, that is the most powerful way that you can engage yourself to save yourself. Because as I stated earlier, the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So, if you want to uplift yourself, try uplifting the whole world. Actually, it's the duty of every member of this movement to dedicate their whole life for uplifting the global consciousness by becoming ideal acharyas in every thought, word, and deed. Every one of us should try to do our bit to save this world. You see, every one of us. You see, what can I do to benefit the people of this planet by being an ideal example of Krishna consciousness? Let every one of us, in that way, let every ISKCON member try to save the world by becoming an ideal example of Krishna consciousness and preaching like anything to everybody they meet. Okay, second one. Who is rightful to assess that someone is in the right platform or his or her service? The pure devotee. And those who purely represent the pure devotee. Prabhupada, they asked Prabhupada, said, Prabhupada, how do we know if you're pleased when you're not present? He said, the GBC and the temple president are there. So you have your temple president here, Sasi Tanai Prabhu. You should be very open to his vision of where you're at spiritually. I'm very open to that. I just needed a disciple, Archanasiddhi Devi Das. I took his vision to judge whether she was fit or not for initiation. Of course, I had some ideas. She's written me very nicely emailed. But I'd never seen her face to face. But I took the version of your temple president, you see, whether she was fit for initiation. I took his word as the final word, you see. So the temple president is empowered by Srila Prabhupada and the GBC man, you see. And other senior devotees like Arjuna Prabhu, you see, who's our Siksha Guru for you all. These senior devotees, they are empowered by Krishna and by Srila Prabhupada to have the ability to see what are the strengths and weaknesses of every single devotee. So we have to hear from these senior devotees. We have to hear from them because they will help us to advance Krishna consciousness. So anything else? Yeah.
What is the qualification of a temple president?
What is the qualification for a temple president? Tolerant more than a tree. How much they have to tolerate? You see, more tolerant than a tree. That's the qualification.
Further?
Well, considering themselves lower than a blade of grass, being ready to offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for themselves, in such a state of mind, one can be a temple president for their whole life. You know the verse by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya has answered your question perfectly.
Example?
Temple president has to be an acharya. Yad yadat chadati shrestas. Whatever example he sets by exemplary acts, the whole temple pursues. Krishna said. He has to be an ideal acharya. Ideal in every way. As far as possible. So we should handpick these men who lead our temples and our GBC, run our GBC. They have to be acharyas. Ideal men. Our best men should be given these positions. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
There's one thing is coming up quite often at the moment is temple outside ISKCON, following instruction and following the standard of Prabhupada.
People living outside of ISKCON, following the instruction of Prabhupada, that's impossible. Have you not read that purport where Prabhupada says, anyone who thinks they can be Krishna conscious living outside of ISKCON is living in a state of hallucination.
Fully instruction problem for reading the books, everything.
So all right, but why don't you read in the books where he says you can't leave ISKCON? You say, I follow Prabhupada. No, they're picking and choosing. Well, I like this. They're saying this Prabhupada I like and this Prabhupada I don't like. If you want to accept Prabhupada, you must accept Prabhupada in toto. Not that I pick this thing of Prabhupada that I like and that I don't like. You know what that picking what I like and what I don't like is called? Ardha kukuti nyaya. You know that the meaning? Half-hand logic. These people say, I'm a follower of Prabhupada, but I'm doing it outside of ISKCON. They are half-hand logicians. You know what happened to that farmer who had the hen, was laying the eggs? He's the original half-hen logician. He said, this hen is very nice. It gives big, big eggs. I'm making big rupees in the Mauritian market selling these eggs, you see. Now, I love this hen. It gives the most wonderful, high-quality eggs. But the one problem I have with this hen, it eats so much feed. So I know what I'll do. I'll cut off the head that eats the feed, and I'll just take the end that lays the eggs. So the stupid farmer, he cut off the head of the hen. He went and he was watching for the eggs to come, and they didn't come. He couldn't figure out why the eggs weren't coming. That's called half-hen logic. So these people say, I'll be Krishna conscious outside of ISKCON. They're saying, well, these instructions are Prabhupada I like, and these instructions I don't like. I will just take the ones I like, and I give up the ones I don't like. They are half-hen logicians. They will not get Krishna prema. Because they have deviated from Prabhupada's instructions. They are aparadis. They are committing the third offense against the holy name. They will never get Shuddhanam until they rectify themselves. They will never get Shuddhanam. They won't go back to Godhead until they rectify their position. You understand? Yeah, that's okay. Hope I didn't step on any toes, but I have to speak the truth. When I ask to sit on the Vyasa San, I have to speak the truth, whether I'm stepping on toes or whether I'm not stepping on toes. I have to speak the truth. It's my duty.
Hamilton Temple is like that. The Hamilton Temple is like that.
I'm going there. I'll see. We all had, actually, all of us are contaminated to varying degrees. Let's face the reality. Which one of us can say, I'm a completely pure devotee? You see? So we have to be a little tolerant and try to help people, not just condemn them, cast them out. We have to be compassionate and create a warm, loving atmosphere where they'll be encouraged. You understand? To those persons who are in that mood that you described, I wouldn't say what I just told you. You understand? I would try to win their hearts by sweet, loving dealings so they trust me. I would just go around and blast people. You see what I'm saying? That it alienates them further. That drives them further away. With such persons, actually, I have a very good relationship with the Hamilton Temple. So I, you know, if there's any problems there, if they're picking and choosing, then I will try to go there and be a living example of someone who doesn't pick and choose and let them see that it's a higher level of bliss. You understand my point?
I've been there myself. I mean, wonderful temple president, wonderful personalities.
Some of the devotees are that way? Yeah. No, the temple president himself has complained to me that he has a problem like that. He's personally written me. He really wants me to come to help him with that difficulty. There are people who are not loyal to ISKCON. We have to be very careful we put on our boards,
temple boards. You give legal power to people who are not sold out to Prabhupada, you're just asking for trouble. Just because somebody's a big donor, don't put them on the board unless they're a sold out Prabhupada man. As soon as you put people, give them legal power in the board of directors, if they're not, just, the money doesn't matter. We don't need money. We just need pure bhakti. And if we have to meet in a tent, because we can't afford a building, better to keep it pure. The Goswamis didn't have a big, of course they got later, they built big temples later on, but they just met under a tree. So we have to keep it pure. We should only have people who have legal power in our movement who are sold out to Prabhupada and ISKCON. Otherwise they shouldn't be given any position on a board of directors where they have legal voting power to determine the direction of the ISKCON temple. It's a very important thing. Sometimes our devotees have made mistakes in a rush to get people who are willing to give big donations. It's a big mistake. Same problem in Fullerton, California. Happened, similar thing. They took over the temple, they kicked ISKCON out. To be very careful. Yes, we're going. Anyway, we're going way over time. And if I go past 9 o'clock in some temples, that, you know, that's it. The temple president will chastise me. So, so we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.